Between the Covers, a series designed around who and what can be done and achieved by patients, planning and working in a community of like-minded, successful people. This podcast series is for anyone looking at becoming a successful published author and those looking to understand the mind of a writer and the goals of a publisher. Proudly sponsored by Shoreline Publishing. Welcome and enjoy.
Hello, listeners, and thanks for joining us. And welcome to the podcast series, Between the Covers. I'm Kelly Wilson. And today I have the absolute pleasure of speaking with brand new author, Peter Long. How are you today, Peter?
Excellent, Kelly. Thank you. I've driven all the way down from Toowoomba just to be here with you.
Oh, listeners, how lucky are we?
Well, thank you.
It's an absolute privilege. And I'd like to say a huge congratulations on the launch of your book, The Last Kelly Standing. Well done to you, Peter.
Thank you.
I'd love to hear a little bit about your take on what it's all about.
Okay, well, it's Steve Hart was a member of the Kelly Gang, and as we know, the Kelly Gang were sort of notorious in the late 1800s, and they sort of met their demise reportedly in 1880 in the Glen Rowan Hotel.
Yes.
Legend, rumour, and then it's become legend, I believe, that two of them had escaped, that the family had actually whisked them away and that they fled.
Wow.
And where I ran across the rumour was in a little place called Mergan, which is in sort of central Queensland, and I was marooned there in the floods. And when I heard the story, I'd lived for a few years in North America and I visited there a few times, and I thought, gee, if this was in America and this was the you know, Buffalo Bill or one of those sort of stories, and given what they're reported to have done, which I don't want to give too many spoilers, but I said this would be a Hollywood movie 50 years ago.
Oh, 100% agree. Yeah.
So I thought someone should write something.
and then
a few years later, I thought, yeah, thank you. Someone's not writing something. Maybe it has to be me. I wrote a short story for my brother who told me this story. He's not a big reader, and he didn't do internet in those days, though now he does. I wrote that and said, look, the dates seem to match up, mate, and you're in the historical society there, so here's what I've found, and I've animated it a little.
Yeah.
It still nagged at me for a couple of years, and I'm the great-grandson of a notorious New South Wales bushranger.
You and, are? As in yourself?
Yeah.
Woo!
As a person, yeah. And we went to a reunion of our family name Long, and we went to it not so long ago, but just before I ran into this story, to find that we'd all got together, but we weren't actually who we thought we were. Someone in New South Wales had written a story about this other person, and so that really tickled me.
Yes.
As in who am I and what is it about? So that part informed them. And I'd written about him, and then when I ran across Steve, and when I heard Steve's story, his voice sort of just jumped into my head. So I know I'm sounding a bit strange, but
not at all, actually.
There. Yeah, so I just sort of felt I'll try and use that voice.
Yeah.
I think editing's taken that voice away because there's sort of rules that I didn't know about, and I'm still not sure they're true. But his voice is there, but not in the way that I might have
first wanted.
So with my great-grandfather's voice, that would be more sort of Irish because he'd just sort of got out of prison at the time that the boys were probably riding to the Glen Rowan, and they might have passed, I think.
Yeah.
And so he had more of an Irish sort of lilt, whereas I think the Cornstalks that they were called then, and this time they had more of an Aussie flavour, even though Steve's dad was a remittance person from OS and Ireland.
It is a work of fiction, obviously, based on fact. How did you go with your research? I mean, I know out there in our beautiful Australian country. There's a lot of Kelly lovers and Ned Kelly haters. How did you go with that?
Well, I sort of started at the other end. So I interviewed some locals about the person that they thought was Steve Harden that lived amongst them.
Yes.
And then on the way through of researching about my great-grandfather, I sort of had read stuff about the Kellys.
Yeah.
And I also read about Ben Hall and Gardner and all those. And then so then I just added. So it wasn't an academic study.
Yes, yeah.
And I did pick up on contested facts to help the drama.
Mm.
And there will be, you know, some family members in that probably will be hurt by some of the assumptions that I've made to colour the story, because I like watching or looking at things that are off stage.
Yes.
And Steve was a little off stage, like he's not the hero of the thing. So I thought I just went looking for things that he may have been connected with that gave him colour and character. And not a lot of people, but those who have.
That's so really interesting.
Seem to have grabbed him, yeah.
Yeah. So what did the writing process look like for you? I mean, how long did it take you to develop your book, The Last Kelly Standing?
Well, I said it started as a short story and then it sort of went from there, and I travelled a lot, and I would work through the day and then I'd go back to my hotel or something and try not to be too drunk to start writing late at night, because I didn't want to, you know, I used to write at night so that I had an excuse not to stay and party. So,
So
the process. Having
I love
been
your
around,
honesty, Peter.
Having been around journalists, they all believe they can write better when they're drunk. So the old story is write while you're drunk and edit while you're sober. I outsourced my editing to, you know, I paid money to get people to have a look at it. And, you know, they were very generous and courteous and, and I, because I've written and written research papers and things like that, and it's sort of a process, but it's what I wanted to do
good
all
on
my
you.
Life. And the other stuff was a
fill-in
diversion to help kids grow and things. But so it's just so nice now to actually see something come out. And
how exciting
for a couple of people to say, "Yeah, I can understand." Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Good on you. It is a huge achievement. And I think author to author, you would agree with me, you know, never again will you look a book at a book on a shelf the same. I mean, knowing the process and just what a huge amount of work goes into getting it to that published point. It's massive, isn't it?
It is. I'm on the Queensland Writers Council on their committee.
Yeah.
That's, you know, our job, the council, is to support writers and what have you. Now, I've also been a business consultant. So if we said to a plumber, "Would you accept the rates that most writers accept?" They'd go on strike. And if I were to get, say, consultancy rates for my book, then I'd hate
to
see.
Oh, my gosh. Don't even go there. I don't want to know. Like, added it up.
That's right. I just anyway, that's just a comment on the side.
Yeah, no, I like it. So
you do it for love.
You do it for love. And the creativity of it, I believe, just completes us as people. And I think that's a really important point for listeners. You know, we're not all going to be famous authors, but the journey is incredible and the process of writing is quite amazing. So I want to ask you, though, you said here, is conspiracy theory a fair topic? What do you mean?
Well, I just wondered whether, you know, how people would look at writing about something that's not, you know, most people say, well, the evidence seems to point that they were shot.
Yes.
And I'm not one who runs around with 100 conspiracies, but it was one that sort of grabbed me, having worked sort of around the public service and what have you.
Yeah.
People knowing how they react at times. So I thought that was a reasonable thing. And then I've also got a bit caught up in sort of, was Hitler actually killed? And then and I sort of think, oh, gee, I better get something down so that society looks at all these links. And And then I think, in a sense, what this story is, it's a it has a sort of an element that, you know, you've got a rebel versus criminal. Tried, shot, hung, crucified. He returns, and in my book they go out into the desert and what have you, so which is what the legend says. So there's something that's about the structure of a reasonably good story before you even head out on trying to flesh it. So.
And I actually love that it'll be really thought-provoking for readers, because, and not just for them to accept what we've heard about the Kelly gang, et cetera. So obviously history and the recording of history is very important to you.
Not always, but yes. Recording, I mean, I wanted to overwrite scenes about how to shear, because I know how to, but I know my boys don't.
Yeah.
And I think, will they ever?
Know that, yeah.
And now I was an older father, and I thought, well, they'll never be interested in history or sort of what I've done before I passed.
Yeah.
However, one has surprised me, and he started taping a bit of interest. So, yes, I've got that interest, but I've always seen myself as a short story writer, so I just try and pick up all sorts of bit of scuttlebutt and see what I can do with it. So.
You're a bit more than that now, Peter. You're a published author of a novel.
Yes. I still think there's a lot of pride in the short story there.
Oh, 100%. Oh, please don't think I was lessening that. It is much harder, I believe, to achieve a short story. A good short story, correct. I've myself entered a lot of competitions and not even got close to that, because I can't seem to condense it the way it needs to be.
I struggle with that too, but that was my sort of goal and aim. And
Well, back to The Last Kelly Standing. So you've done this novel. What would you say would be your main purpose for that, or your author message in that? If you wanted a reader to pick it up and get something from it, what would it be?
It's probably when Professor Torr read it and did quite an extensive review of it. He called it a polyphonic work. So there's a few messages in it, and it depends on sort of where your headset's on, which message you pick up. But so at different points I've, you know, been a bit interested in what the thing is, but probably it's about seeing history and around an event in ways that probably is not necessarily the way that it's always been told. And whilst I, you know, have a European background and interest from that, I've always surprised as I've read through my ages that, gee, there's another story around there.
Yeah.
We've got the indigenous story of what happened. We've got the Irish story. We've got the English Protestant story.
Yeah, I love it.
And then when I've lived in places, which is sort of why I don't think I'm necessarily creative, I think I'm just recording things that I've seen. But when I lived and travelled out around Mount Isa and places like that, you start to realise, you know, how many people from other nationalities and that have contributed considerably.
Absolutely.
So only recently I think that they've got part of the tune.
You are one interesting character, Peter. I need to know. I'm hoping that you've got something new in the pipeline. What's going on in the writing world for you next?
Well, I've probably got a collection of short stories, but whether anyone would publish it, so I might have to do that myself to see how long the pension lasts. And then,
as we do.
And then the other thing, I've just sort of bulked out my father, who's the grandson of the bushranger now. The sort of qualities that made the bushrangers independent and hard to deal with, and you know, cutting corners and disrespect and that. By the time the First World War came up, the sons of those bushrangers and that had a different outlet. So my father's father, he went to the First World War, and you know, was a contributor, and then he got wounded and came back. And then my father and his three brothers, they all went off to the Second World War. But my father, he became part of a group called Special Z that part of it paddled into Singapore Harbour behind lines. And so he did most of the Second World War behind enemy lines. So after the war, all their records were burnt because of perhaps what they did. But I have some other views about it, of course. so I want
to like that, Peter.
I just tried to capture that, and now I've got 60,000 words of story. Now I'm going to, what do they call it, where they layer it? But I'm going to try and turn it now into a novel. I mean, it's not a bad story now, but I want
to. Yeah, I think it needs to be told, and you're just the man for it.
Aren't you wonderful? Thank you.
No, absolutely you are. I mean, who would actually know that story? I wouldn't, but now you've mentioned it, I want to know. So
yes. No, there's been TV docs on that, but not my father's end of it. So we just wanted to my brother was going to do a documentary and that on it, but it's just been too hard to find the actual facts. So I said, well, I'll use what we know and we'll call it a novel, and
fiction it is.
and we'll try and get some recognition for the couple of hundred fellows that actually ended up in that sort of position. So
wow, well deserved, I say.
Thank you. And then I hope I've got the odd short story left then after that.
Oh, you do. You got plenty of time, my friend, plenty of time. Look out, Will, what I say. Peter, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you.
I wish you all the very best for The Last Kelly Standing. And listeners out there, I hope you're as inspired as I am to go out and grab yourself a copy. Yes. It's available online in all good bookstores and in libraries right around Australia. So I encourage you to do so as quick as you can.
Yes.
And Peter?
It's called Steve Hart, Last Kelly Standing.
Steve Hart, Last Kelly Standing.
Last Kelly Standing, yeah.
Yeah. I wish you every bit of success, Peter. You're a good man.
Thank you. Appreciate the interview. Time.
Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Covers, produced by Shoreline Publishing.